Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, entitled Chanting the Sun by Lord Shiva. Chapter 24, okay, I said that. Text 45 and 46.
Snigdha pravrighana shamam.
Snigdha pravrighana shamam.
Sarva sundarya sangraham.
Sarva sundarya sangraham.
Charvayata chaturbahu.
Charvayata chaturbahu.
Sujata ruchiranam.
Sujata ruchiranam.
Okay, then I read also the next one. Padmakosha palashaksham sundarabhru sunashikam sudvijam sukapulasyam samakarna vibhushanam snigdha glistening pravrit
rainy season ganashyamam
densely cloudy
sarva
Sundarya,
beauty,
Sangraham,
collection,
Charu,
beautiful,
Ayata,
bodily features,
Chaturbahu, unto the forearm,
Sujata,
ultimately beautiful,
Ruchira.
Very pleasing.
Ananam.
Face.
Padmakosha.
The world of the lotus flower.
Palasha.
Petals.
Aksham.
Eyes.
Sundar.
Beautiful.
Bru.
Eyebrows.
Sunasikam.
Raised nose.
Sudrijam.
Beautiful teeth.
Sukapula.
Beautiful forehead.
Asyam.
Face.
Samakarna.
Equally beautiful ears.
Vibhushanam.
Fully decorated. Translation. The Lord's beauty resembles a dark cloud during the rainy season. As the rainfall glistens, his bodily features also glisten. Indeed, he is the sum total of all beauty. The Lord has four arms and an exquisitely beautiful face with eyes like lotus petals, a beautiful highly raised nose, a mind-attracting smile, a beautiful forehead, and equally beautiful and fully decorated ears. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, there's so many purport, so much purport, at least 3 pages. 1, 2, 3. Okay. So, after the scorching heat of the summer season, it is very pleasing to see dark clouds in the sky. As confirmed in Brahma Sangita, Bharavatam Sanasitambura Sundarangam, the Lord wears a peacock feather in his hair, and his bodily complexion is just like a blackish cloud. The word Sundar, or Snigdha, means very pleasing. Kandarva Oti Kamaniya, Krishna's beauty is so pleasing that not even millions upon millions of cupids can compare to it. The Lord's form as Vishnu is decorated in all opulence. Therefore, Lord Shiva is trying to see that most opulent form of Narayan or Vishnu. Generally, the worship of the Lord begins with the worship of Narayan or Vishnu, whereas the worship of Lord Krishna and Radha is most confidential. Lord Narayan is worshipable by the Pancharatrika Vidhi, or regulative principles, whereas Lord Krishna is worshipable by the Bhagavad Vidhi. No one can worship the Lord in the Bhagavad Vidhi without going through the regulations, of the Panchayatrika Vidhi. Actually, new five devotees worship the Lord according to the Panchayatrika Vidhi, or the regulative principles enjoined in the Narada Panchayatra. Radha Krishna cannot be approached by the new five devotees. Therefore, temple worship according to regulative principles is offered to Lakshmi Narayan. Although there may be a Radha Krishna Vigraha or form to worship of the new five devotees is Although there may be a Radha Krishna Vigraha or form, the worship of the new five devotees is acceptable as Lakshmi Narayan worship. Worship according to the Pancharatrika Vidhi is called Vidhi Maharaka. And worship according to the Bhagavad Vidhi principles is called Raga Maharaka. The principles of Raga Maharaka are especially meant for devotees who are elevated to the Vrindavan platform. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis, Mori Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the cowboys, the cows, and everyone else are actually on the Raga Marg or Bhagavad Marg platform. They participate in five basic rasas: Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, and Shanta. But although these five rasas are found in the Bhagavad Marga, the Bhagavad Marga is especially meant for Vatsalya and Madhurya, or paternal and conjugal relationships. Yet there is the Viprarambha Sakya, the higher fraternal worship of the Lord, especially enjoyed by the cowboys. Although there is friendship between Krishna and the cowboys, this friendship is different from the Aishwarya friendship between Krishna and Arjuna. When Arjuna saw the Vishvarupa, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, he was afraid for having treated Krishna as an ordinary friend. Therefore, he begged Krishna's pardon. However, the cowboys who are friends of Krishna in Vrindavan sometimes ride on the shoulders of Krishna. They treat Krishna equally, just as they treat one another, and they are never afraid of him, nor do they ever beg his pardon. Thus, the Raga Marga or Bhagavad Marga friendship exists on a higher platform with Krishna, namely the platform of Vipralambha friendship. Paternal friendship, paternal service, and conjugal service are visible in the Vrindavan Raga Marga relationships. Without serving Krishna according to the Vidhi Marga regulative principles of the Pancharatrika Vidhi, unscrupulous persons want to jump immediately to the Raga Marga principles. Such persons are called Sahajya. There are also demons who enjoy depicting Krishna and his pastimes with the gopis, taking advantage of Krishna by their licentious character. These demons bring books and write lyrics on the Raga Marga principles are surely on the way to hell. Unfortunately, they lead others down with them. Devotees in Krishna consciousness should be very careful to avoid such demons. One should strictly follow the Vidhi Marga regulative principles in the worship of Lakshmi Narayan. Although the Lord is present in the temple as Radha Krishna includes Lakshmi Narayan. Therefore, when one worships the Lord according to the regulative principles, the Lord accepts the service and the role of Lakshmi Narayan. In the nectar of devotion, full instruction about the Vidimara worship of Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayana. Although there are 64 kinds of offenses, one can commit in Vidimara worship and Radha Marga worship, there is no consideration of such offenses because the devotee on the platform, on that platform, are very much elevated and there is no question of offense. But if we do not follow the regulative principles on the Vidimarga platform and keep our eyes trained to spot offenses, we will not make progress. In his description of Krishna's beauty, Lord Shiva uses the words Charyata Chaturbahu Sujata Vajiranam, indicating the beautiful four-armed form of Narayan or Vishnu. Those who worship Lord Krishna described him as Sujata Ruchiranamam. In the Vishnu Tattva, there are hundreds and thousands and millions of forms of the Supreme Lord. But all these forms are the form of Krishna. But of all these forms, the form of Krishna is the most beautiful. Thus, for those who worship Krishna, the word Sujata Vajiranam is used. The four arms of Lord Vishnu have different purposes. The hands holding a lotus flower and concha are meant for the devotees, whereas the other two hands holding a disc and mace or club are meant for the demons. Actually, all of the Lord's arms are auspicious, whether they are holding conch shells and flowers or clubs and discs. The demons killed by Lord Vishnu's chakra, disc and club are elevated to the spiritual world, just like the devotees who are protected by the hands holding the lotus flower and conch shell. However, the demons who are elevated to the spiritual world are situated in the impersonal Brahman effulgence, whereas the devotees are allowed to enter into the Vaikuntha planets. Those who are devotees of Lord Krishna are immediately elevated to the Golok Vrindavan platform, planet. The Lord's beauty is compared to rainfall, because when the rain falls in the rainy season, it becomes more and more pleasing to the people. After the scorching heat of the summer season, the people enjoy the rainy season very much. Indeed, they even come out of their doors in the villages and enjoy the rainfall directly. Thus, the Lord's bodily features are compared to the clouds of the rainy season. The devotees enjoy the Lord's beauty because it is a collection of all kinds of beauties. Therefore, the word Sarvasandara Sangraham is used. No one can say that the body of the Lord is wanting in beautiful parts. It is completely Purna. It is completely Purna. Right. Everything is complete. God's creation, God's beauty, and God's bodily features. Jai Shri Shri Lala. All these are so complete that all one's desires can become fully satisfied when one sees the beauty of the Lord. The word Sarva Saundarya indicates that there are different types of beauties in the material and spiritual worlds, and that the Lord contains all of them. Both materialists and spiritualists can enjoy the beauty of the Lord. Because the Supreme Lord attracts everyone, including demons and devotees, materialists and spiritualists, he is called Krishna. Similarly, his devotees also attract everyone. As mentioned in the Shat Goswami Stotra, Dira Dira Jana Priyo, the Goswamis are equally dear to the Dhira devotees and Adhira demons. Lord Krishna was not very pleasing to the demons when he was present in Vrindavan, of the six Goswamis were pleasing to the demons when they were present in Vrindavan. That is the beauty of the Lord's dealings with his devotees. Sometimes the Lord gives more credit to his devotees than he takes for himself. For instance, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna fought simply by giving directions. Yet, it was Arjuna who took the credit for fighting. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. You, O Savyasachi, Arjuna, can be but an instrument in the fight. Bhagavad Gita chapter 11, text 33. Everything was arranged by the Lord, but the credit of victory was given to Arjuna. Similarly, in the Krishna consciousness movement, everything is happening according to the predictions of Lord Chaitanya, but the credit goes to Lord Chaitanya's sincere servants. Thus, the Lord is described herein as Sarva Sondarya Sangrama. I have very little time left for my class. Only 7 minutes. Yes. So am I allowed to speak a little longer today? Just a few minutes longer. Well, I made a lot of notes, so it's supposed to be 1 hour of class, but how to do it? I have to skip my notes again. And just see what we can do. I made so many notes, it's a class for 2 hours, I guess. Sorry? Nobody from the management is here. We have to take advantage of that. Okay. Om Gyanati Marandasya Agyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuri Vedantam Vena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pachari Nirvishesha Sundarvadi Pashtari Satarve Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shivasini Gaura Bhattavinda Vancha Kalpata Vidrishya Vasindhu Vidrishya Patitanam Bhavani Vyavaisya. This was a giant purport, and Prabhupada said so much, so many different topics were there. And, I just start and we will see what happens, because I am not the Supreme Controller. Krishna will make me do something, and we'll see what happens. So, you can read the verse again, because maybe we forgot the verse because of the long purport. So, I read the translation again. The Lord's beauty resembles a dark cloud during the rainy season. As the rainfall glistens, his bodily features also glisten. Indeed, he is the sum total of all beauty. The Lord has four arms and an exquisitely beautiful face with eyes like lotus petals and a beautiful highly raised nose, a mind attracting smile, a beautiful forehead and equally beautiful and fully decorated ears. Yes, that is the summit of all beauty is Krishna. It's a great personality of Godhead. But we have come to the material world, and we have that tendency, the soul has the tendency to become attracted to beauty. And, so we look for beauty in inferior things. The material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. It is said that beauty is only skin deep. And usually young boys are attracted to young girls the other way around. And they say beauty is only skin deep. So there is so many disgusting substances underneath the skin. And I won't mention them today. But you all know. So, there's an illusion, Maya, but Krishna is the ultimate absolute truth, and Punya Tattva is the ultimate absolute truth. become attracted to him is natural for the soul. To be attracted to Krishna is natural, just like iron is attracted by a magnet. Therefore, the Lord's real name is Krishna. Everyone and everything in Vrindavan, or in Krishna Loka, the spiritual world, is the perfect example of attraction towards Krishna. Unless one is free from all material desire, one cannot be attracted by Krishna. There is a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Bhuveshvaya, Prasuttaranteya, Vritta Chetasam, that when someone is too much attracted to sense gratification and worldly opulence, then his mind becomes bewildered. He cannot make the resolute decision to become a devotee of the Lord. He has no taste for spiritual life, actually. So there is a clue somewhere. Somewhere or other. So it's the liberated souls, they are very much attracted to Krishna. And there is one gopi who said, if your eyes don't see the beauty of Krishna, they become so useless that they should be struck with a thunderbolt. So you walk there somewhere and a big thunderbolt will finish. That's what a gopi really sincerely feels. Another gopi says, if you want to enjoy family, friendship and love, and so-called material beauty, you could add to that, then you should not go to the other side of the Yamuna, because on that shore there is this beautiful boy, Shyama Sundar, and if you happen to see him, everything will be finished. No more friendship, family, life, love and beauty and material wealth. Then you will have the higher taste. So therefore another name of Krishna is Govinda. Govinda has different meanings, but one of the meanings is he pleases all the senses. All the senses become completely satisfied. Krishna has six opulences, all fame, all strength, all knowledge, all renunciation, all wealth. That's one I didn't mention yet. Beauty. Beauty is called in Sanskrit, this opulence, he has an unlimited quantity. It's called Kanti. Kanti means beauty. In Chaitanya Bhagava, there is a wonderful, something stated very wonderfully. Madhavendra Puri, he was a very great acharya in our line, is the spiritual master of the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. And he's a very advanced, wonderful, great devotee. You know what happened to him? If he would happen to see a dark cloud in the sky, he would fall unconscious. Just by seeing a dark cloud. Yeah. So we like to see beauty of Krishna. Once there was a Srila Prabhupada, someone asked Prabhupada in an audience that, can you show me God? You are advanced, you are a guru, you are a swami, so can you show me God? It was more like a challenge. And actually, Srila Prabhupada said immediately, you have to become qualified to see God. You have to have the right eyes. Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita, he says, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vidurchanena, that the eyes have to be solved with the ointment of love. So, no one perceives God, but he sees everyone. And one has to become very pure. One has to become pure to see God. When there are some rituals performed by the pujaris, like a fire sacrifice or in deity worship, the pujari, the priest, they or the brahmins, they recite this verse: apavitra pavitrova sarvastam gato piva yasmarat pundarak rikaksham sabhaya abhyantare shuchi. Whether one is pure or contaminated, and regardless of one's external situation, simply by remembering the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, one can internally and externally cleanse one's existence. So simply by remembering the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can clean our internal and external existence. So therefore Krishna gives that instruction also in the Bhagavad Gita. Manna bhavana patto madhyajimana maskuru mami vajshasthu plega mātmana matparāyana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, worship me, and offer your obeisances unto me. When you always engage like that, fully absorbed in me, then surely you will come to me. So therefore Vajrayana also says there are two principles of in Krishna consciousness. A. Always think of Krishna, and B, never forget Krishna. Very simple, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada said also, we have to become Krishna's yes man, and my yes no man, something like that. I added that, my yes no man. Yes, Krishna's tu bhagavan svayam purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna's tu bhagavan svayam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is so great. Aham sadrasya prabhavamata sarama prabhatati iti madhva bhajante mangura bhava samanitaha. I am the source of all the spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. And the wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Krishna's called also Purushottama, which means the Supreme Personality. Of all the persons that exist, there is one person who is the singular. We are plural, we are so many. But Krishna is the only unique Krishna. And Vasudev Krishna is the Param Satyam. Param Satyam means the highest truth. And the highest truth can only be reached by the highest method. And that is pure religion. That method is called Bhakti Yoga, actually. Bhaktyamam vijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvata. Only by devotional service one can understand the Supreme Personality as He is, and then we can go back to God. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, yes, religion is created by God. Only God can create pure, perfect religion. Kali Yuga, we see so much man-made religion, we see its influence becomes impure because man is conditioned, is fallen, and God is transcendental. But Chuta, he is completely untouched by anything material, and he is completely divya, transcendental. So in the Bhagavatam we find a definition of the real, pure religion. So the Upsam Paroda Mojato Bhaktiya Luksajiya Hitupiya Pratiya Tayyana Suprasidati. The supreme occupation of Dharma is that by which man can attain to pure loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God. Such devotional service should be unmotivated, and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. So it is not very cheap. It is not cheap. It's very elevated. No motivation, no selfish motivation, no interruption even. It should always go on, whether in sukha or dukkha, in happiness or in distress. So there are two things that we can do, para or avara. Para means our mind is engaged in bhakti, and avara means our mind is engaged in sense gratification. See where I'm now. So, okay, and Srila Prabhupada was talking about the different systems of worship. How? Bhakti is a whole science. It is a whole science. Sometimes people think, yeah, you can be sentimental in the heart, you connect it directly with God, and just do a few prayers and that's it. Like in Christianity, you see that a lot. There are so many different types of sentiments people have, but actually it's a very great science. Because for millions of lifetimes we have been conditioned in this world to act averse to God. We act completely godless and always in the wrong way. We have so many anarthas, unwanted desires and bad habits, and it is very difficult to become reconditioned again. So we have to start with a clean slate, with a clean slate. We have to wash again. Sometimes people would criticize Prabhupada and his school and they would say, that is brainwashing. And then Prabhupada would immediately say, yes, brainwashing, because the brain has to be cleaned, has to be washed. So many crazy things in the brain. So therefore processes have to be followed, and mainly these processes are called the Pancharatika Vidhi and the Bhagavad Vidhi. And Pancharatika Vidhi, should I properly explain, is also called Pancharatika Marg. This is based on the Narada Pancharatika, which is the scripture that we use also in ISKCON for deity worship, temple rules and regulations, and there are many rules and regulations. At least 64 offenses you can make, but there are many rules and regulations. So then Bhagavad Vidhi Prabhupada explained, Bhagavad Marga, that comes, that is worship on a spontaneous platform, that is called Raga Bhakti. So that is for devotees who are very advanced, they are beyond the rules and regulations already, they're just spontaneously. And then he gives the example like Mother Yashoda and the cowherd boys and the gopis. They're on that platform. So that's not very relevant to us, to me. But Prabhupada gives another explanation of Bhagavad Vidhi also in another part of the Bhagavad. I forgot where exactly, but Srila Prabhupada explains there that Pancharatika Vidhi is given by Narada Muni, and we have that. And then Bhagavad Vidhi is actually based on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is actually the ninefold process of bhakti given by Prahlad. And Prahlad learned that from Narada, because Narada Muni was the spiritual master of Prahlad Munas. So what Prabhupada did, he combined. He said that in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, they are actually integrated. We follow both. We follow some of Bhagavad Marga, the ninefold process, and also we follow the strict rules and regulations of Pancharatika Vidhi. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the seventh canto, that doesn't exist. Seventh canto, fifth chapter, that's what it is. Text 23 and 24, it's very interesting. If you want to know anything about the ninefold process, you find about 5 pages of knowledge given by Srila Prabhupada about the nine-fold process. It's wonderful, just wonderful. And it is said if you follow only one of those of the nine principles of the nine-fold process, then all the eight or others are included. And if you follow it perfectly, then you will be able to experience ecstasy, and you can go back to Godhead. So I can mention these processes. They are Shravana. And who, I ask a question to all of you, who is famous for reaching perfection and go back to Godhead by following the principle of Shravana? Who knows that? Yes, Parikshit Maharaj. He listened for the last 7 days of his life continuously, 7 days of nights. He just did Shravana, hearing. Shravana means hearing, yes? Hearing about the glories of the Lord. So then, there is the principle of Kirtana, chanting the glories of the Lord. Who became famous for that? Shukadeva Goswami. Yes, he was speaking when Maharaj Parikshit was hearing. So, speaking for 7 days, so much nectar. The principle of Vishnu Smaranam, remembrance of the glories of the Lord. Who did that? Who is very famous for it? Prahlad Maharaj. Because when Prahlad Maharaj was tortured and they wanted to kill him, his father ordered the servants to torture him and kill him, actually, to kill him. Then he was saved just by remembering the Lord. That he was thrown into a pit of snakes, poisoned cobras, but they didn't touch him, just because he was remembering the Lord. And he was thrown off a cliff, but nothing could harm him. And so many other horrible things they did to Prahlad, but he always remembered the Lord. Okay, then, Parasivana, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, who is very famous for that. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, expansion of Radharani, she is always massaging the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Then we have Archa Vigraha, or Archanam, which means worship the deity very wonderfully. Who did that? Who is very famous for that? Also, he is also very famous, Ambarish Maharaj. There is another great avatar, Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj, Shakti Desha avatar of the Lord. And then Vandanam, offering prayers to the Lord, beautiful prayers. Who is famous for that? Akrura, he offered wonderful prayers to the Lord. And then, who is most famous servant of the Lord?
That's Hanuman.
Hanuman was the greatest servant of the wonderful incarnation of Ramachandra. And then Sakya, who's famous as the best friend of the Lord? The best friend. Arjuna. Sakya Ras. And then, today, we celebrate the appearance of Vamadev. And Vamadev had a wonderful devotee, and he became very famous for Atmani Vidana, completely surrendering everything to the Lord. Bali Maharaj, yes. So I have to tell the story very quickly.
And what?
In half a minute, how to do that? To make it very devotional, but very fast, simultaneously. This is inconceivable. How can you do that? I try, oh Lord, please give me the strength to do this, to glorify Lord Vamadev and his wonderful devotee, Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj, he was visited by a little Brahman. This little Brahman was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamadev, one of the Dasavatara, of the 10 famous incarnations of the Lord, as a dwarf. And Bali Maharaj was very, very famous. And so he was very pious, So he saw immediately, this is a Brahman, and he saw the effulgent, this cute little Brahman. So let's give him something, offer him some charity. So he asked Brahmadev, yes, can I give something to you? You take whatever you want, I'll give it to you, it's yours. And then his guru, Sukracharya was his name, yeah. Sukracharya, he was not so pious. He was actually demonic, his guru. And he told Bali Maharaj, don't do that. He's a Brahman. He will trick you. If you give him a little thing, he will take everything. He, don't do it. Don't give anything to him. So then Bali Maharaj, he rejected his guru.
It's because he was Vishnu, not because he was Brahman.
What?
He said he'll trick you, it's Vishnu.
He's Vishnu.
But he didn't say it's Brahman that'll trick you, he said it's Vishnu that'll trick you.
I don't understand her because I have a very bad hearing. What does she say? Sorry, Mataji.
She said you mentioned that Shukracharya said he's a Brahmin. She says
he's Vishnu. Yeah, he is Vishnu. So he's like our Rami because he's Asuric. So then Bali Maharaj actually he rejected. Said you can only reject your guru if he goes against God, and you can do that if he becomes impious like that. So then Bali Maharaj he said, you ask something, yeah, then Trivikrama or Vamadev, he said, just give me 3 steps of land. No? He said, what was it? Yeah, 3 steps of land. Then he made 1 step and then he took the whole world. And then another step, he took the 3 worlds. And then another step, right on top of the head of Bali. So Bali Maharaj, therefore is called Trivikrama, because he made 3 steps and took the 3 worlds with that, inclusive the complete heart and soul and all the possessions, whatever, of Bali Maharaj. So therefore he became celebrated Bali Maharaj as the volume became famous by performing perfectly the principle of Atma Nivedana, full surrender of everything to the Lord. So, there was a lot more I wanted to say, but we have to stop here. Thank you very much for listening very attentively. And, is there any comments or questions? Yes?
You said Sukracharya was demonic? You said Sukracharya was demonic, it was demonic?
Yes.
Because, Bali Maharaj said he rejected his proposal to the, not to give everything to Vishnu. He said, you taught me to give everything to Vishnu. And then now he said, this is Vishnu, you cannot give everything to him. Because he will take everything away from you. But if he was demonic, how come he was teaching him this kind of philosophy? Actually, for Vishnu you have to give everything. And then when it happens, you know, don't give. So how come that
wow, this is a very difficult question to me, it's Leela. See, sometimes things in Leela happen that are, it's like, for example, when Arjuna is in ignorance, he actually isn't in ignorance. Or when the demons like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they're actually, in one sense, not. They're actually devotees to come and serve the Lord. Because sometimes the Lord is in the mood of fighting. Can do that only in the material world. And it's part of a whole scheme and plan to teach the whole world some principle. Krishna is so expert that whenever something is in his lila, so many, many plans are carried out. So many problems are solved. And that is also the essence of the word expertise. That you can do many, many things by performing one act at simultaneously, something like that. Sometimes the definition of expertise is called like that by Prabhupada. But I don't know. I would have to read the Bhagavatam again, that story again. I've forgotten all the details exactly. But maybe Arjuna, you know it, or someone else knows.
Well, when someone takes a party, he becomes a member of that party. So you weren't wrong, because Shukracharya, as the guru, the acharya of the demons, he can be called a demon.
Oh, okay.
But actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Kavinam Kushana Kavi, that amongst poets, I am Shukracharya. So at the same time, he's the Lord.
Yeah.
He can be called a demon, being in the demon's camp, but actually he was a Brahmin.
Even Ravana was a Brahmin, I heard.
Yes.
Yeah, he was very learned in the Vedas. So sometimes it's confusing a little bit.
Jarasandha.
Who?
Jarasandha.
Jarasandha, yeah. Yeah.
Was a Brahmin. Oh, yeah, very, very.
Okay. Thank you very much for clearing this. Is that okay?
It seems like the philosophy is available for everybody, but people have a different understanding according to their nature. So they can hear something, sometimes the word of them, the more you hear people preaching, and they're preaching, if you don't really know who is talking, you think it's just a very nice explanation about what is right, what is not right. But it is spoken by him, and also his understanding of the conclusion he has is actually opposing. So it can be the same thing, when people take the scripture. Some people they use it actually for against religious principles, and some people they use it completely for to get out of this world and to help others. So it seems so much connected to the metaphor.
I'm losing it now. I can concentrate for a little while. And about 2 weeks, I will have hearing aids for both ears, and then I will be able to understand all.
The different people can quote scripture, but they can use it for depending on their mentality, they can use it for different meanings.
Yeah.
So a demonic person can quote scripture, but that doesn't mean that the result of what he's saying is right. It's just he's using something for his own end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fact that scriptures are interpreted mostly. There is only few, actually, who really interpret it properly. Manushyanam Sahasrishu and Sahasrita Mahapasudhulabha. Yeah, you can see, most of the time scripture is interpreted wrong, especially Kalinga, of course. And so, Srila Prabhupada said also once, don't be surprised when people go, when they leave, be surprised when someone stays, be surprised when someone becomes a pure devotee, but not when they're in Maya. So all these things are true.
Lord Chaitanya said, "A bala a mandasa prama," that to say this is good or this is bad is actually a mistake. Brahma with a H. He says that it's all mental accepting and rejecting. So Nirtandvo Nitya Sattvasto, Krishna said, yes, transcend duality. Come in the platform.
Accepting and rejecting.
Yes, mind on. We can't actually touch something that's bad. One man's food is another man's poison.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord Chaitanya said, do this. This is good, this is bad, it's just poison.
Of course, you have also the, like it is sometimes said, someone said in the class, that the Vedas are like a supermarket, there's something for everyone there. there is this verse by Krishna, Yeyatam Amrupadhyanti. Everyone follows my path. You know, everyone follows my path. But according to surrender, my reward. You know. So the essence is to please Krishna, surrender to him of all the Vedas. But I'm not just talking about Vedas, I also talk about other scriptures in the world. There's a lot of impurity there, and misinterpretation. There's very few who fall really pure. Or Gaudiya Vishnu Sampradaya, it's wonderful. It's so perfect. I think we should start now getting really late. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.